Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello and welcome aboard, Gallant and George. On a Wednesday, yes, the Astros lost last night to the Boston Red Sox, 6-5, another wild game. Not a great outing from Ronel Blanco. But today, the pickle back shot to that is Justin Verlander is back on the hill this afternoon, Joe.
I do love a good pickle back shot, Paul. I won't lie.
It's the best chaser.
Yes.
I think you're...
I had to think about that for a second, but yes.
If you need a lime to take down a tequila, you're a meow.
Ooh.
I refuse to acknowledge limes as a chaser, but pickleback is very good.
Do you like the salt, but no lime for a tequila shot?
No, I just take it straight.
Okay, that's fair. I was making sure we're on the same page here.
I feel like if you're in Texas and you consider yourself like an independent, rugged person that is doesn't need the government, you also don't need a chaser for your tequila with the drink of choice. And the place that you share a border with.
But Justin Verlander's back, and that's a great way to put it. He has a pickleback shot to get the stink away from yesterday's game.
Yeah, yesterday was frustrating. The really only thought I have is, okay, you're going to have games like this. I'm not freaking out about it. I know we tend to get bipolar with the Astros. It's still a close game. Just a mere annoyance here. The American League's wide open. And the Astros, who should be a lot better than the Red Sox this year, are not that much better than the Red Sox by a win-loss perspective. Now, obviously, they smoked them in Boston a couple of weeks ago. But these first two games of this series have been close. And, yeah, I picked the Astros to win a 7-game series in the playoffs every single time. 10 out of 10 times, I think they would actually end up winning. And injuries have kept things definitely close these first two because you haven't seen Alex Bregman, who might play today. All I'm saying is I'm annoyed that the Astros are only 2 games above the Boston Red Sox and that Boston is capable of challenging them the way that they had the last 2 nights.
Yeah, that goes back to the beginning of the season where the Astros started off so dreadfully slow and why I view that they're this close to the Red Sox because they are a better team. Last night's game was just another weird one. Ronel Blanco, not his best stuff. The Shea Whitcomb play, I've never seen that before. I've never seen a ball get stuck in the fence like that ever in my life. I've never seen something like that happen in a Major League Baseball game. But Jake Myers had a great robbery in this game. John Singleton ripped that home run in the first inning. So it was a weird game. There's nothing to panic about. It's just a loss. This is one of those where I think the bipolarness goes away a lot at this point in the Astros season because they've been playing so much better baseball. The bipolarness, I think, mostly came from how bad it was and that every single time they started to get good, things would kind of unravel again. Yesterday was Blanco's. Not his best start. This is probably who he's going to be the rest of the year, where he's going to have a really good start and then a more shaky start the next one. Like I'm just not expecting him to be consistently dominant like he was at the start of the season.
No one should have. I mean, we shouldn't have expected him to do what he did. What he did was awesome. Shout out to him, but a la JP France. I mean, it is house money. You found $20 in the couch. You used it. It's gone.
Yeah, and you know, maybe it'll be back next year, unlike JP France.
I don't know.
You're not a believer.
Well, generally, everybody in baseball is capable of going out there if they've made it to the major league level and having a stretch where they pitch well or where they hit well. And then generally things come back to earth. It's a really tough sport.
Yeah. I agree. He's not a guy that I would bank on when you look at the future of this team at his age and how long it took him to get here and everything. So I'm with you. Last night's game is just one of those where it's like, the Yankees get smoked in extra innings. So you could have gained a little bit of ground on them. The Orioles have lost another starter. I know. I'm
so greedy.
I am greedy. But you know what? The Mariners lost.
Yeah, that's the glass half empty. I don't know how the Mariners were this bad, but they actually got a Ken Rosenthal feature piece in The Athletic. 64-63, they blew a 3-0 lead to the Dodgers. Lost 6-3 last night, so the Astros still have a 5-game lead in the American League West. And I read this piece in The Athletic, Joe, and some of the details are ticklish. Entering Tuesday, the Mariners' Major League best 3.26 rotation ERA is 0.2 runs per 9 innings better than the next closest team, the Philadelphia Phillies. It's been a while since somebody has led by that much. The last team to miss the playoffs after leading the majors in overall ERA, the 2012 Tampa Bay Rays, and the Mariners, who are one game above 500, have a .504 winning percentage. This could be the fourth lowest all-time by the team with the best ERA in baseball.
I didn't know that.
Now, if you have the best ERA in baseball, I mean, you're probably still a decent team. And there's no denying the Mariners are decent, but they cannot hit. And they added at the trade deadline. They brought in Randy Arozarena. They brought in Justin Turner. They fired people. They got rid of their offensive coordinator, their bench coach. And I'm just getting a kick out of it.
It is fun. It's fun to see a team collapse like this when, you know, when you would talk about the Mariners were kind of in control over the Astros over the last two seasons and the way they'd play head-to-head, that the Mariners had a pretty good record against the Astros. Seeing a team collapse like this is always kind of fun. And the Mariners fans have, Paul, I wouldn't say they're at the top of the most annoying fan base, but
I like them because I worked with them back there and they were nice to me. But
they seem extra whiny.
Well, yeah, it's been miserable there. They've never had anything good. They raised a banner for the playoff participation trophy that they got by making it into the play-in round of the playoffs because they hadn't been to the playoffs in like 20 years.
Yeah, and when they made the playoffs, they had what, the best record in Major League Baseball, like ever, in a regular season, and they lost.
No, you got to rub it in. Like, they've had it miserable. They've had it miserable because their owners are a bunch of cheapskates, and I love that I no longer work for their flagship station, and I can actually say what I want to say about them. They're a bunch of cheap pussies. They hate it when people criticize them. They are. That's what they are, Joe. I'm so glad I don't work there anymore. I love that the guy who replaced me in mornings in Seattle, he has to wake up every single day and somehow explain this. He has to explain this. I don't have to do it anymore.
You're not talking about Geno Smith anymore? Or Sam Howell?
I mean, forget the Seahawks. I just, because the Seahawks were always cool. The Mariners are just completely sensitive little babies and get upset when you don't talk about them. But when you talk about them, you're talking about this.
Yeah, you're not talking about anything positive. There's nothing where they have given fans a reason to hope for anything. I'm shocked they haven't made major changes at this point in the season.
Scott
the way
Service
they've collapsed.
Would be the, I think, very easy to put on a spike head.
Yeah, but even then, like, he didn't put the roster together. I mean, maybe it is his fault. I always think managers get unfairly fired in baseball versus like the NFL. The NFL, a coach can really change the way a game, the outcome is. In baseball, they cannot. It is the GM's fault. It is the GM's fault that this team has collapsed. He clearly has no idea how to identify offense. He can clearly identify pitching. They have the best rotation in baseball. He just went over it. Like they're dominant, but they've collapsed on themselves. And that's why, even though the Astros lost yesterday, they're still 5 games up, and that's all that matters.
I am tempted. I do have the Mariners general manager's phone number. Should I call him?
Ooh.
Hey, Jerry Bear, how you doing? Jerry was always nice. Jerry DePoto, the general manager of the Seattle Mariners, for what it's worth. And he said, we came into the season with the most talented group that we thought we've ever had. And here they are where a lot of guys can't hit, and the pitching, it's still good, but you have to score runs to win games. So even though the Astros lost, the Mariners cannot get out of their own way. I'm a little annoyed that the Astros are not that much better from a win-loss perspective than the Boston Red Sox, but you got to keep in mind, in the post-Jose Abreu world, in the days J.A., that this is a totally different team. Everything that happened before then, you may as well just forget about it after our second season reset.
Yeah, and where you're at with injuries right now, that's also where it feels weird to be, you know, like that upset of a loss. Even if they lose this game today, you're rolling out a lineup where Alex Bregman is back. He is going to be the DH. He's leading off. But they gave Jose Altuve the day off. So you're still not really back to full strength at this point. And yeah, Bregman, Alvarez, Diaz, Peña is a fun 1-4. But then you still have a litter of Sugarland Space Cowboys in your lineup at this point. So we await Kyle Tucker's return, and it'll be nice that even when they get to tomorrow, assuming everything goes well for Bregman today, that Jose Altuve will be back in the lineup with these guys, and it just makes you feel a little bit better as you go into the next series. But I don't know. I don't feel bad for Mariners fans. I just feel happy for Astros fans that they're rooting for a good baseball team again. And it's also weird that we're rooting for the Dodgers at the same time. Like, I watched more Dodgers baseball the last 2 days than I've watched all season, because I've been watching them come back against the Mariners. It's been very weird.
Did you enjoy it?
Not really, because it was up late. My son's sick, so like he wasn't going to sleep. So I was like, I got to watch something.
Okay, so you're doing this instead of playing Call of Duty?
Yeah.
In front of a child?
Yeah, watching bad baseball. Or good baseball, I guess, because the Dodgers are good. So.
What's worse for a child? Baseball? Or Call of Duty?
Call of Duty.
I don't know. I think a kid can learn a thing or two about the
quick
future.
Reflexes.
Well, no, World War III. It's around the corner, and he's going to have to learn how to pick up a rifle when the Chinese invade us. But
throw back a grenade.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a totally realistic thing. It happens all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
But I feel like showing your child baseball is really doing them a disservice.
What, really?
Yeah, I do.
I'll make sure he watches lots of football, though.
Yeah, just to make him a football guy.
That's my plan.
We don't need any more people watching baseball. Just let it go away. Once the Astros are no longer good, just let it go away. Okay, it'll be fine.
See, that's why you need to be a parent, Paul. You can be the change that you want to see in the world.
No. It's just hard pass. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want a kid. I don't want to spend money on a kid. I don't want to spend money on a wife, for God's sake. So, yeah. We're going to be alone forever with my cat. We'll get a replacement cat when she croaks. Life is great. Hey, the Astros are in first place by 5 games. Isn't that neato? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Justin Verlander is back on the hill. The Athletic had a very funny feature about him at Old Dominion. We'll read some of the funny details from that. And what are realistic expectations for Verlander the rest of the way? He's Joe. I'm Paul. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Texter, my 18-month-old, loves watching baseball. Sounds like a hostage situation. He has no control over the remote. How do you know? He probably loves Baby Shark, too.
His 18-month-old probably can walk. Can walk, I would assume, at this point. So he could walk away.
He could walk away. That's true.
So there must be some kind of sitting, being mesmerized. It also might just be because it's a screen.
Keep baseball away from your kids, okay? You don't want them to feel the need to look at their phone every 5 seconds, because that's exactly what baseball does. It makes you so bored. You're like, what's going on? Huh? Oh, there's a game on. By the way, nothing happened while you did that.
Should we be showing our children Little League baseball? So that way they can find like the real heroes.
No, please, for the love of God, no. Yeah, I
can't wait. This is on again in the studio.
At least we can switch it to the Astros game in the middle of the afternoon.
That's true.
And Justin Verlander will be on the hill for the Stros. Did you see that Justin Verlander was quite the character at Old Dominion? Detail one from this story in The Athletic. When he went to Old Dominion to go pitch, he drove to school in a black Mustang, V6, not a V8, I don't know what that means, with a license plate saying JV bringing it.
I love it.
You would get a vanity plate?
I would not, but I love the idea of like high school Justin Verlander
having a vanity plate in a Mustang?
Yes, just being like, I need one that says JV bringing it. That's what he needs. to Old Dominion, which, you know, that could be a good baseball is a weird sport in college. That could be a really good school for baseball. I have no idea. But that just – seeing who Justin Verlander is now, like, that kind of blows my mind that he would have that much vanity. Then again, this is the same guy who put his phone number on a baseball and gave it to Kate Upton. Now, that worked for him.
I mean, he's clearly got some swag.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I you would think that someone who ended up marrying who he married would have had a vanity plate that says boobs guy or something. I don't know.
What would yours say, Paul?
I would never get a vanity plate.
I would never either.
I feel like you're asking for somebody to do something to your car or to take a ironic picture of you and send it to a group chat. I don't think there's a victory there. And I feel like you got to pay a little extra for it.
Yeah, I think you pay monthly.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, like, so I guess if you have a lot of money, it's fine. But I don't know. I couldn't imagine doing that. But I love that Justin Verlander did. And then it says JV bringing it. That's great.
So we talk about being cheap. And I'll admit it, I'm a little cheap. But Verlander would purchase $5 dishes at Goodwill when the house ran short of dishes because he didn't want to wash the dishes in the sink.
Okay. That's very frat college living. That's very, you throw out the dishes. Because that's what, I guess that'd be my follow-up question to Justin. Mm-hmm. Like, so are you throwing out the dishes that are not clean, or are you eventually washing them?
It's a good question.
I'm assuming he's throwing them out if you're buying new ones frequently.
I don't know. This feels like he left them in the sink. $5 dishes, why not just get paper plates is what I would say here.
Good follow-up.
But I can't really speak because the house that I lived in with my four best friends at Syracuse my senior year, the kitchen was so disgusting because everyone used the George Foreman grill, but nobody had a drip tray underneath it.
Oh, Paul.
I know.
Oh, Paul.
I know. And everyone refused to clean it. No one cleaned their stuff. And I was probably the guiltiest culprit. So honestly, had I a little extra money, I would have 100% spent $5 on paper plates over and over and over again, like Justin Verlander, who's back on the Hill today for the Astros. There's a fun feature piece in The Athletic about him.
It's so funny to think back to, like, college living, though, mm-hmm. and how rank it always is.
Oh, God, it's disgusting.
You go to a dude's house, and it's the worst.
And those campuses, the housing that's generally right off campus, are slums.
Mm-hmm.
Owned by slumlords who realize, well, they're college kids. They don't know any better. Yeah, they leave this place looking like absolute dirt.
Yeah, they know that there's a chance that, like, on a Saturday night, you're going to drink too much tequila with, what did this texter say? With orange and cinnamon instead of tequila and lime.
A little fruity. Nothing wrong with that.
I think I want to try it now. I'm just curious. But, like, you might drink too many shots of that and you might have the buddy who just says, like, hey, I can run through the drywall.
What was his name, Kyle?
His name was Alex. But Kyle also might have been.
So a friend of yours ran through drywall?
He tried.
He tried. What happened?
He got his shoulder into it, and then he fell down.
Bleeding?
He didn't get up for a while.
Did the wall ever get fixed, more importantly? I mean, he's cool and all, and I hope he's not dead. But
I'm sure our slumlord fixed it after.
But you got no security deposit back.
Oh, no, we did not get that back.
I somehow got the security deposit back, and I remember my last day, I got so annihilated the day before graduation. I mean, I fell asleep in a park bench, and I got back, and I don't know what I did, but I like just decided to kick the bejesus out of the mirror that I had in my room. And, yeah, I just destroyed the door. I don't know how I didn't get cut. Woke up the next morning, like, I don't know what happened there. Suck it, Ben Tupper. That place was a slum. More Justin Verlander in the Athletic piece, talking about his time at Old Dominion. Natty Light cost $8 back then, said a housemate who had the house's loan fake ID. He'd give me, like, a 10. I'd go and get it and come back, and he'd say, where's my change? Dude, it's 9 cents change, and he'd be like, yeah, I want my change.
Ooh.
Adamant.
So he's cheap.
Well, he was. He was frugal. There's a way to say that. Yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, he was paying extra every month for his vanity plate, probably. or his parents were.
Yeah, so you know, save that money.
That money had to you – know,
those 9 cents go a long way.
Yeah, exactly. Those, yeah. It's $15.
This is before Joe Biden and Obama, you know, thanks to those two. I mean, the inflation's out of control.
Oh, Natty Lai, also a bad memory of college. Yeah, this just felt like a trip down memory lane. It's like, it's weird to think that Justin Verlander, yeah, he's got, what, 10, 15 years on us?
Well, for me – probably like six.
Yeah. So I guess like 10
six
for
or
me.
Seven.
And it's like, well, this is sounds a lot like my college experience also.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not minus change. You just get cheap beer. I guess now they got seltzer, so it's a little bit different. Justin Verlander mastered a Waldo costume at Old Dominion. It earned acclaim at campus Halloween parties, and he became known for riding his bike around campus for hours. Once after a night of indulgence by Verlander, he was threatened by a police with a charge of biking while intoxicated. I didn't know that was a thing.
It is. It can be. It's like, it just depends on, I think Old Dominion's in a small town. If you go to a college in a small town, they play like different rules. So that doesn't totally surprise me to hear that.
Verlander was not above the law.
I mean, you know, you probably just don't know the law when you're 18, 19, 20 years old.
To avoid getting the biking while intoxicated charge, he straddled the bicycle and walked it back to the dorm, picking leaves off trees along the way, telling teammates, quote, look, I'm a giraffe, end quote. Justin Verlander was once just like all of us.
Oh, that's so funny. Look, I'm a giraffe. This story was great. Is JV quoted in this thing? Like, I can't remember. I read it yesterday. I wonder.
I think it was just his Old Dominion college housemates.
Yeah, I wonder how he feels reading it. Just being like, guys.
Well, there was a passage that said Verlander's lost touch with his Old Dominion teammates.
Oh, well, you know, he's not.
So maybe this is a time he wasn't proud of.
I wonder why.
I think there's plenty to be proud of there.
I think a lot of people look back at their college memories and go, probably shouldn't have done that or that or that or that.
100%.
Yeah,
100%. So what are realistic expectations for Verlander the rest of the year?
I mean, today I would say I'm not expecting more than like 75 pitches, so try to get 5 innings out of it today. In general, I would still hold him to like the quality start expectation in every single one. You know, the hard part with the 6-man rotation is that if you have Blanco and then sometimes Arrigetti, who can't get you more than 5 innings, you need some guys to give you some length so your bullpen just doesn't get completely eviscerated the rest of the season. So asking Justin Verlander to give you quality starts, I think is a fair expectation. I don't expect him to be – like, he's had some really good starts this year. You just need him to be consistently solid. He doesn't need to be spectacular, but stay healthy. Quality starts at this point, like, I'll take it.
I want more. You got to have somebody doing – what Ronel Blanco was doing. And you have it with Fromber of late, and you've had it with Hunter Brown of late. I need that third guy. If they're going to win the World Series, they need to have 3 starting pitchers that are pitching at a plus level that they can trust come playoff time in the rotation. And I'm assuming right now, today, just August 21st, 2024, that in some way it's going to be Fromber, Hunter Brown, and Verlander. For now. I mean, Luis Garcia is not coming back. Lance McCullers is not coming back. I don't know who else you would throw into that equation there. Maybe it's Yusei Kikuchi. Maybe it's between Yusei Kikuchi and Hunter Brown the rest of the way. But I need the Verlander that we used to know. And I think the Astros do too. I mean, they gave up a lot to bring him back. And has he given them in his return anything close to what he was giving them before? Hard expectations to live up to, given that he won the Cy Young Award his last year here with a sub-2 ERA. But I mean, I'm looking for something in the high twos, low threes.
Yeah,
which might be unfair to ask.
I mean, what Kikuchi's been doing, because if Justin Verlander does it and does exactly what Kikuchi's been doing, which is going, you know, basically 6 innings and has that below 3 ERA, you feel very good about this rotation going into the postseason. Because part of like this maybe the simplest way to put it is just when he gets the ball in the playoffs, you want to feel confident that he's going to be good.
Yeah, I don't want a tight butt.
Yeah.
I don't want to clench.
No clenching. Clenching's not good.
No, you don't want your starting pitchers to make you feel that way. And I mean, look, we've been living in the high life. I want to get back into high life again.
Who do you feel the high life with right now? Just Fromber? Are you there with Hunter Brown yet?
No.
Still?
No, I'm probably never going
to
be
back. Oh, Paul, we got to get you a come around eventually.
What's there to come around to? I mean, why am I supposed to feel comfortable that he's going to be good in the playoffs? I mean, he's been good this regular season. I like what I've seen, but he's still Hunter Brown to me.
Yeah, until he performs in the playoffs.
It's one of those things where it's an unfair thing with him, but with the Astros, you think to yourself, okay, this is neato, but playoff time, that's where this organization separates itself with the 7 straight ALCSs.
I don't think that's unfair. It's what you expect from the franchise. They expect to go to the ALCS again to try to win another World Series. So there's nothing wrong with saying that a lot of the regular season stuff doesn't matter until you
show. And I'm not quite saying that, though.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I think I took it too far.
But to what you're saying, yeah. You gotta do it then against the good teams, and I want to see that. Same thing with Kikuchi. It is interesting. I mean, this is the last game this afternoon for the Astros where you expect them to win because they're better than this team, even if their records are rather similar. After this, for the next 11 games, I truly do not know what's going to happen.
Hope for the best. Hope that Kyle Tucker comes back. I don't know if we're getting Kyle Tucker back ever. These updates are killing me. You see that yesterday's?
What?
He's skipping. I saw a jog yesterday. He was doing like high knees. So we've gone from hopping to high knees to the slowest jog I've ever seen.
And as you'll hear at 1 o'clock in Are You Down with Dana Brown, now August, it's out. Sounds like it's first week of September. Wonder how much that'll change.
I'm going to guess a lot, Paul.
Yeah. Day One Donna says, Paul, you can't kick Blanco to the curb. Yeah, I can. Do you trust Moronel Blanco? This is JB France like last year. I mean, he's come back to earth a bit, and he might be gassed, but is he going to be refueled by the end of the year?
Like, yeah.
He just put a ton of mileage on him.
Yeah, I don't think there's a way to revert. Even though the 6-man rotation could help him, I wouldn't expect it to just be consistently good again this year. I think he is gassed. That's a good way to put it. But he's not going to just magically go back to where he was a couple months ago. I would love for that to happen, but the 6-man rotation doesn't give you that much of a relief. And if these guys struggle to go deep into games, they'll have to leave the 6-man rotation.
We might need a different term than gassed, too, just because that gassed is the conventional term used to describe a pitcher that is running out of steam, if you will. But when you run out of gas, you can go to a gas station and refuel it,
mm-hmm.
even if you let it go all the way to zero and drive for like 3 miles with it on zero, which I've done a lot. I can't believe I've never run out of gas before.
Oh, you've never run out of gas before? That's good.
I can't believe I haven't, because I always push it. I'm trying to be better about that, because supposedly it's bad for your car. But you can't just refuel Ronel Blanco right now. Ronel Blanco has pitched more than he ever has in his life. And by the way, there's, at the very least, 5 weeks of baseball left, if not more. So, I mean, what are we talking about? 8 more starts or so the rest of the way? That's a little more than what it's actually going to be.
It'd be nice if it was more than that. It would probably benefit him. He could be one of the guys that could solve some of your bullpen problems. He could be a guy that could, he could get you 2 or 3 innings out of the bullpen if you ever needed it. Mm-hmm. Like him and Arrigetti, you do have options. If everything stays healthy as it is, as of today,
yeah,
you will have some flexibility as the season gets to its end.
Day One continues saying he's carried this pitching staff all year. Come on. Well, he's not now though. I mean, it's a long season. Doesn't stay the same all year long. This isn't a video game, and you can't refuel the gas. He's Joe and Paul. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll keep you posted on what Justin Verlander does this afternoon. We will also tell you what Dana Brown had to say about Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman at 1 o'clock. Up next, Soft Boys. In Soft Boys, you would think that if your husband, I don't know, stopped going to work to watch you at the Olympics, that you would do the same. I'm not so sure that that's going to happen for one of the most important and dominant athletes in the history of Houston sports. That and a lot more. We got soft boys next. What's been soft in the world of sports? 713-780-3776 to call, to text, and on Twitch at ESPN97.5, at ESPN Houston on YouTube. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of that one time that Ime Udoka saw LeBron James bitching in the middle of a Rockets-Lakers game and called him a soft-ass boy, 12:30 every single Wednesday, we talk about what's been soft in the world of sports and beyond. I feel like the marriage between Bears safety and Texans legend Jonathan Owens with Houston legend Simone Biles seems a little soft. Seems a little one-sided. I say that because Jonathan Owens cut work to watch his wife, Simone, at the Olympics. And Simone Biles, she is unsure that she'll be able to go to a Bears game this year. I don't know how many games I'll be able to make, the 27-year-old said, because in a few weeks, we go on tour, the Gold Over America Tour, a family-friendly event featuring jaw-dropping athletic brilliance and high-energy choreography. There's 32 stops. Kicks off mid-September, ends in November. She might be able to catch a game or two towards the end of the year? Hang on! There's 2 months the rest of the season! What are we doing here?
Yeah, this is...
Come on, Simone!
This is making me question all of these conversations that we've been having. Me trying to defend Jonathan Owens and say he's being a good husband. And then...
She's got not going to go. Packers jacket.
She's not going to go. You got to find a way to go. Taylor Swift finds a way to go, Simone.
That's true. Taylor Swift has gone to Travis Kelce football games.
Now, she doesn't go to every one. And I'm not saying someone has to go to all of them. But you gotta, you know, if you're in Michigan on a Saturday and they play in Green Bay or in Chicago the next day, you got to find a way.
Yeah,
you got to find a way.
Got to find a way.
He flew to Paris. He missed camp. He has been dumped on by Paul and Sean relentlessly.
I mean, here's the reality, because Simone Biles actually can't do no wrong. But if Jonathan Owens gets cut and she wasn't even going to go to his games, but he went to the Olympics and he gets cut, I would be pissed about that and bring it up 7 years later in the middle of a fight.
Oh.
that's a recipe for, hey, remember when I went to the Olympics and you didn't go to any of my games the year the Bears actually were good for a change?
Yeah, that's a... But she is talking playoffs, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you got the divisional round, yep. The championship game, and the Super Bowl, yep. She could go to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So, there's plenty of games for her to go to.
Okay.
That's eight football games for her to go to if she goes to every game in December.
And they'll host throughout, so.
Yeah, I mean, she won't have to go anywhere. She'll have to just go to New Orleans at the end.
Soft boys, Mets fans for hating on Haley Welch, the Hawk Tua girl, throwing the first pitch at a Mets game. People were very mad about that. We played some audio from it. Did you know what Haley Welch was doing it for? She tweeted this out. I guess some of the baseball community wasn't too happy to see me yesterday. The main reason I went to the game was to spread awareness and donate to America's Veteran Dogs, which pairs dogs with war veterans for a forever home. My God, Mets fans. You're so miserable about everything, and you don't want to help veterans get dogs.
I mean, you gotta, you know.
That was for a good cause.
Maybe they should have led with that, though.
Brought a dog out there with her.
Yeah, because there's a picture of a dog.
Good call.
Later, but not on the field. So she should have been with the dog the whole time.
Yeah, like, honestly, credit to Mets fans for getting mad and thus bringing awareness to this charity that
That's
I
right.
was unaware of.
If it wasn't for Mets fans right now, we wouldn't know.
That's
so,
true.
Shout out to them.
Also, soft, the complete awkward way with which Sketch, Houston Texans fan extraordinaire, streamer / gay porn on OnlyFans guy.
Yes.
He's very, very multi talented, versatile,
diverse portfolio.
Triple threat.
Creator. the meeting between the two, it made me cringe so hard. It really did.
Both so awkward. Any interaction you see with Sketch anywhere?
I think he was awkward, which is his whole shtick, but he was in particular very awkward here.
She also just doesn't seem like she can hold a conversation.
Really? You think that? Man. Putting women down, Joe.
She. Not all women.
I agree with you. I can't believe that they're trying to make her into a podcast host. No. Quick bursts with Octua Girl.
I'm going to be so sad when she's just like making millions of dollars podcasting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to happen. So just get used to it. Just play video games until 3:30 at night like I did last night. That's how you deal with depression, man. Dennis Schroeder, he calls Kevin Durant a weak-ass person because Kevin Durant made fun of Dennis Schroeder, saying that European basketball is more of a thinking man's game than American basketball leading up to the Olympics. Dennis Schroeder plays for the Germans. Kevin Durant, of course, Team USA.
Yeah, there's so much just like negativity around the basketball team. Noah Lyles, Schroeder. Like, they all just get so angry because they're not on the team. I think that's it. It's pure jealousy.
I don't know if it's that. I mean, Schroeder's a German and Durant's an American. I feel like it's more European basketball players want people to respect European basketball. And they should. European basketball is actually pretty good. But no one's ever going to respect it on the same level as the NBA. They just should respect it more than the G League, which is a joke. The G League is actually a joke. It's terrible basketball. Honestly, I think it makes those players worse. European basketball is actually pretty good. That said, I mean, saying those things in a way to pat yourself on the back, then ultimately only to... Did they even medal? Did they come in third place or fourth place?
I don't know.
I feel like they lost to Serbia.
I think you're right.
So yeah, I don't think they even medaled because I know they lost to Germany.
Yeah, because I remember seeing Jokic party like it was the best day. He partied harder for a bronze for his country than he did winning the NBA championship because he's a true countryman.
Kevin O'Connell, Vikings head coach, he might be soft after telling Browns defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz to tone down the physicality at practice last week. There have been a lot of catastrophic injuries for the Vikings this training camp, and they are one of the more cursed franchises in American sports. But you can't tell the other coach, hey, tone it down, even if we're talking practice here.
No, you can't. You just come off soft. Because what, they've lost McCarthy, Addison went down, Blake Cashman got hurt as well. I don't know if that was when the Browns were there. They've had a lot of injuries, but maybe just hit them back, you know? Play football?
That would work.
That would work.
Cheap shot somebody?
I didn't say. Just hit him back. Put a little oomph into it. Or, you know, don't get hurt yourself.
Soft Boys continues. Sean McDermott held Josh Allen out of a preseason game against the Steelers because of bad weather. I mean, it's the preseason, so nobody plays, but I mean, maybe that's what John Harris was talking about with CJ Stroud. Making that throw over the middle. Josh Allen's not going to play in a preseason game. He didn't. C.J. Stroud did.
Mm. Josh Allen's not going to play in bad weather. C.J. Stroud will. Josh Allen normally does. But.
I mean, C.J. Stroud technically played that game in bad weather because the roof was broken at NRG Stadium.
That's true.
The air conditioning was slightly... I mean, it wasn't quite Minute Maid Park broken, but it wasn't working to the degree it should.
But this is also like... This just goes into more like, I don't really get why we do preseason. You don't want to play starters because it rains... You don't want to play starters for this reason and that reason. It's like, well, then why are we... Like, what's really the benefit?
And they charge full price.
Yes.
Soft Boys continues. Who's been soft in the world of sports? I feel like Jerry Sandusky... No, not that Jerry Sandusky. Jerry Sandusky, the Baltimore Ravens broadcaster. I feel like he shouldn't have had to apologize for this tangent he went on in a preseason game.
We have the technology to put a GPS tracker on Mars, but we still use a bunch of older guys on the sideline with sticks to measure whether a ball carrier got a first down or not. Nothing against the older guys with sticks, but in an age of wild high-tech data metrics,
this looks
they stretch out the sticks.
Is it short? No, he made it.
He got it by half a football. It just seems absurd that in a game where they have GPS trackers on players' shoulder pads, they have 19 different levels of algorithms to measure everything in the NFL, We still use guys with glasses who are no longer what you'd call physically fit, trotting out a pair of sticks to measure first down.
And we saw the line judges had two different marks. The line judge close to us was a little shorter, and the other line judge on the other side was a little further, and they took that line judge.
They each trot in and eye where they think the ball, and then marked it with their feet. We're not talking surgical precision here.
I only have one issue with what he said. The ref in question with the glasses actually seems like he's in decent shape, and I doubt that a broadcaster, no offense to literally all broadcasters, I doubt he's in shape, but hey, man, we're at a point now where the umpires and the chain gang, the human error that happens routinely with them, is worthy of discussion, and a lot of people pushed back on this. Jonathan Jones, who covers the NFL, to be so ugly and so misinformed is quite the combination. Some guy named David Tukesbury, who's a Milwaukee broadcaster. Keep it classy, Jerry. What if running the chain gang is what these guys look forward to in their week and life? What if it's that's what's keeping them from jumping off a building? We don't know what they're going through. You'd rather phase them out for a machine. Weak.
Did he apologize?
He apologized. Jerry Sandusky eventually apologized because of all the people that came after him. He's not wrong. He's not wrong about the glasses thing.
Paul, he's not wrong because they're doing it. They're getting rid of these guys. By 2025, the chain gang's gone. They're literally implementing it in all the stadiums right now. And some teams will have it accessible this season.
Yeah.
As early as 2025, or as late as 2025, it might be across the league this year. I hate that we make you apologize for something when he's right.
I think it's because of the glasses.
They changed the rules. I think it's because he called him fat.
Yeah, he was in shape. So he actually was wrong there. Like, that guy's in good shape. And some of these referees are in really good shape.
Yeah, you have Ed Hockley with the guns.
There's a new guy now, and this guy actually officiated my best friend's wedding in February. He's like 6'7". He is the most jacked person I've ever seen referee. And he's bigger than every football player out there. He's actually taller than every single one.
You did spell Jerry's name wrong on the doc, and I didn't click the story first.
What? Because I didn't do it with a G?
Yeah, so I actually thought it was like an actual Jerry Sandusky story, and I was like, whoa, what are we doing today?
Oh, okay. So that's why you had the big look on your face.
Like I was like, where are we going with this? And then I was like, oh, he spelled it the other way.
So I know, you're so explosive in your defense of this Jerry Sandusky, not that Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah, not that one.
I'm with you on that.
They're changing the rules. It's like anyone who defends umpires, they're literally trying to replace them every single day. They're all telling you that these guys are terrible at their jobs.
One last soft boy, Damian Lillard. He feels like people don't respect him as a basketball player in the way that they should.
That's so stupid.
Here's old Dame talking about that on a podcast.
They definitely don't talk about it. They act like I don't be doing what I've been doing. Like, this will be my 13th season.
You've been going crazy for a long time.
Still
nah, you've been cold.
Going crazy.
It's
been a long time, bro.
That's what we want to hear. Go crazy.
It's
been
before.
A long time, bro. For real. Like, I'm just saying, it's like my time in the league. When I think about like how many people have been very good, like over that time, and then it's been more people very good, then more people very good for a couple years, like. It ain't been that many people that been here the whole time, like since I've been in the league, that just been doing it like over and over and over. But I think people just get bored with consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't loud, but like I've been doing it that long and winning. Like, it ain't like I've been doing it and I'm playing for a team that just never played in the playoffs. Like,
what winning?
Yeah.
Portland. The season before last, bro, I averaged almost 33 a game, bro.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah.
Like,
it's hard to average a dub in the league for a decade, bro.
It's crazy. I've been over 25 for damn near 8-9 years.
Basketball players complaining they don't get enough respect is truly the most tired thing that we have in the NBA. There's a lot of really good basketball players these days. Are we supposed to kiss all of their asses at all times? And I feel like Damian Lillard, among all players who has been on a team that has not won that much, has been rather immune to criticism compared to some other athletes, say James Harden, who have had really good numbers, but have had not a lot of winning attached to said numbers.
Yeah, this is I don't quite. I guess because he played in Portland, mm-hmm. he feels this way. But in 2021, the NBA released the top 75 players of all time, and he's on the list. How can you be disrespected or overlooked if the league itself is telling you that you're one of the 75 greatest players to ever play the game?
It must be so tiring to constantly feel the need to have your ass kissed.
Yeah, because that's what that is. Like, that's what he's saying. Like, how could you? How does anyone view you? Because you don't want to. Because you don't have a championship. Because first of all, you're not a winner, Damian Lillard. You're a loser. The only time you made it to the Western Conference Finals, you got swept.
I'm not going to call him a loser, but I will say at the same time, you can't constantly be begging for respect when you know that it's all about if you win or not. I mean, everyone thinks he's a good shooter, but with Milwaukee this year, Milwaukee didn't go far. Was that his fault? Not necessarily, but defensively, Milwaukee was not very good this year. And I think it stands to reason that fully healthy next year, Milwaukee is probably like third, fourth best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So no one's looking at them as a favorite over Boston.
And they shouldn't, because Boston just won the title. But like, you have Giannis, you have Dame, and you have an NBA championship coach.
Yeah.
Doc.
He gets plenty of respect. It is really tiresome, all these NBA players that are complaining about that. By the way, lack of respect may be shown by the IOC. Anthony Edwards, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, all drug tested. After the Olympics final.
Hopefully they all pass.
I have a question. I have a question for all three of us.
Okay.
Have you guys ever been drug tested? I have never been drug tested in my life.
Yes.
Interesting.
I worked in like a classroom for like kids with like severe autism for like a summer or two. And because I was a teacher's aide, they made me take a P test.
A P test, okay.
Yeah. I had to tell my mom, who worked in the school district, and my dad. I didn't know I was going to take one. I had to tell them before I took it that I didn't think I was going to pass.
Nice.
What?
I passed.
I guess
little
to
smoky
like,
smoke?
Yes.
To prep them for disappointment?
Because I was like, I had asked them if they wanted me to continue with applying, because I was like, hey, like, your coworkers are going to know that your son fail the drug test potentially. Do you want me to do this? Oh, man. And they're like, well, it takes, like, my mom was so upset. I could see the disappointment on her face.
Dude.
But I took some at home tests and I passed those and I passed the real one.
Okay.
So we're good to go.
There you go. What about you, Sean?
I've never been drug tested.
Go to the bathroom right now.
Why?
Whoa, middle management Joe here.
You can't tell me to do that.
It's waiting for you.
there's a guy who's going to watch me do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in case you brought a fake Schmenzer in here today.
Do we have an intern I can borrow?
that's probably an HR violation. It is interesting that in radio you don't get drug tested, but in TV you do. I've always found that fascinating.
I think some radio stations used to. A lot of radio companies used to.
No, I think radio companies really never did. Radio is so soft compared to what it used to be. Back in the day, I mean, you know, look at the things Opie and Anthony were doing and Howard Stern were doing. I mean, it is dumbed down. And they 100% didn't drug test because a lot of these guys were doing drugs in the studio.
That's very true.
Whether it was puffing the reefer or doing just lines off of the board.
Yeah.
Artie Lang would not have a radio career.
No, great point. Great point. It is interesting that they do drug test in certain elements of the media. But radio, they're like, you're good.
I bet.
Probably writers do.
Yeah, I was going to say, newspapers. I bet print. I definitely newspapers. I was going to go with print. Guys, they probably drug test too.
I would bet like the ESPN like .coms or like the .com.
SDJ.
I would say no, but like if it's funny. Like straight up like the Chronicle, I would say yes.
Newspapers definitely.
Yeah,
I would be shocked if they didn't.
First question next week when DJ's here. Did you guys take a drug test? Is that why you work for them? Because you didn't have to.
It would be funny to just ask it and then just move on. There's no context whatsoever.
It's also a conversation. By the time he sits down next, it will be 6 days ago.
Yeah. There's no way.
Hey,
like,
by the way.
Our listeners won't even remember it. They'll be like, what? What is that all about?
What a weird question.
Okay. I won't remember it either.
I will also forget.
He's Joe, Sean behind the glass. I'm Paul. It's Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, I think this is a good Kyle Tucker update. But at this point, who effing knows? What is it? You'll hear from Dana Brown next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.